Okay, we were seeing how if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. The devil is described in scripture as a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. So I want you to look at 1 Peter and chapter 4. Here's a picture that projected on the screen of two lions, and the man is trying to walk the narrow way between the two lions, and it's a picture of the devil and demons trying to frighten us as we walk, and the way to life is narrow, and he tries to frighten us, he tries to accuse us, he tries to swallow us up. 1 Peter 5, it says here in 1 Peter 5, and verse 8, the middle, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The devil is pictured as a lion seeking to devour Christians, ruin their life, make them afraid, make them scared, accuse them, make them miserable, unhappy. So resist him, firm in your faith, and as James 4:7 says, he will flee from you. Now, this is a picture from Pilgrim's Progress, by the way. The interesting thing, if you notice carefully, sometimes we don't see it. If you look at the lion on the right side, there's a chain that holds him back. And the lion on the left is also, that's not visible, but the lion on the left has got a similar chain. The message of that is that the Lord does not allow the lion to get beyond a certain point. So if you walk the narrow way exactly in the middle, this lion, that lion can't touch you. It's when you move away from that narrow way, slightly to this side or slightly to that side, compromise a little in the Word of God, compromise some conviction, then you're moving close to the devil. But otherwise, he's chained. Remember, their mouth can only come to the edge of the narrow way. A picture is worth a thousand words. So the next time the devil tries to scare you with something, or frighten you with something that's going to happen in the future, remember that he's chained by God. He was defeated on the cross, and he can only come to a certain point in the way to escape is very easy. Determine that you will walk along the narrow way. Because there, the devil can't touch you. You know this, let me read you a promise in Isaiah, the Old Testament. There's Isaiah chapter 35. It's a beautiful verse which illustrates what's written here. It's good for you to know this verse. Isaiah 35, verse 8 to 10. Please remember these verses all your life. There will be a highway. It's talking about the day when Jesus will come and open up a narrow way for us to walk, and will be called the highway of holiness. The highway of holiness is what Jesus called the narrow way that leads to life. And that highway of holiness, the unclean will not travel on it. We were all unclean once, but when we confessed our sins, we became clean through the blood of Jesus. But if you don't confess your sin, you cannot walk on this way. The unclean, even with one sin, you cannot walk on this way. You must confess it. Lord, that was my mistake, and I'll tell you the way to confess it. Tell God it was your fault. Like the thief on the cross, what all sins he committed. Lord, I am to blame. I'm not blaming my parents for the way they brought me up. I'm not blaming my friends who led me astray. I'm not blaming the judge who accused me. The thief on the cross said, me. 100% me. The Lord said, as it were, really? You really did that? then you can be with me in paradise today, because paradise is made for people who are honest about their sin, who will not blame anybody else. Why was Adam kicked out of Eden? Because he blamed his wife. Did you eat of the tree? Yes, hang on, Lord, let me explain to you how I ate it. This wife of mine, whom you gave, by the way, is the cause of all the problems. And paragraph number two, I ate it. That's not the way to confess sin. Blaming somebody else, he was kicked out of Eden. How did the thief on the cross get into Eden, who did much worse things than Adam? Because he took the blame himself. I'll tell you this, many of you are miserable because you don't take the blame yourself. You're blaming your wife for something, you blame your husband for something, you're doomed to be miserable all your life. But Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll walk with me in paradise, and I've learned the secret. I can walk with paradise in paradise every day of my earthly life by taking the blame myself instead of putting part of the blame on my wife or somebody else. If you don't believe me, try it out. You can walk with Jesus in paradise on earth. Acknowledge your sin and confess to men also. If you've hurt somebody, Jesus said, don't come to God with an offering before you settle that matter with that person. Matthew 5:24. Settle it, then come and pray. And when you go and apologize to somebody, you know this favorite way of apologizing that proud people have. If I have hurt you, brother, please forgive me. The meaning is, I don't think I've hurt you, but if you're so stupid to think I've hurt you, then okay, forgive me. If you use the word if in your apology, it's not an apology. Never use the word if. That is not an apology. That's putting the blame on the other fellow. I'm sorry, that was my mistake. Please forgive me. That is, your uncleanness is gone. Isaiah 35:8. The unclean will not walk there, but it is for him who walks there. Fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there. Verse 9, did you read that? They are there on the side, but on the way, no lion's mouth does not reach up to the narrow way. I hope you young people and children will never forget this picture all your life. When you find ungodly people in your school and college trying to lead you into wrong paths, away from that narrow way, and trying to pollute your mind through Facebook or whatever there is nowadays, social media, frightening you, scaring you, making you impure with all the movies and serial movies on television to pollute you. You will not walk this way if you allow yourself to be unclean. Keep your heart pure. The devil cannot touch a young man or woman whose heart is pure. And that lion's mouth will come up to the edge. God allows the lion to scare you. But you don't have to be afraid. I've had demons trying to speak to me through a person, trying to scare me. I said, I'm not scared. You were defeated on the cross. How can you scare me? Impossible. You don't have to be defeated, afraid, scared of Satan. Never. Because no vicious beast will walk on it. They will not be found there. But the redeemed of the Lord will walk in the middle. And they will come with joyful shouting to Zion with everlasting joy on their heads. I hope you remember these verses in this picture. And that is the way God wants you to walk. Let me show you another picture of the narrow way, the next one. See, the way is very narrow. As you can see, there's that demon up there trying to scare you. There's a fire on one side and a flowing river on the other side. And the way is very narrow. You can fall this side or you can fall that side. Like I told you, we must remember the goodness and the severity of God, grace and truth. And I've discovered through many, many situations in life, that the way is really narrow. And I must not listen to this guy pulling me this side or that guy pulling me that side. But I must look at Jesus all the time. I don't have to be scared of the devil trying to frighten me. And if I keep sticking to the way God shows, I'll come to the end of my life and you turn go to the next stage and I'll be able to look back over the way I walked and I say, wow, thank you Lord Jesus for keeping me from stumbling, keeping me from falling. Imagine if you were to actually walk a long journey like this over a period of many days. It can be dizzy, scary. That's why the Bible says Jesus is able to keep you from falling. If you keep your heart clean and you walk in humility, you will never fall this side or that side. You'll be able to look back at the end of your life and see the amazing path that the Lord led you. Like we sing in that song, I'll bless the heart that guided, I'll bless the heart that planned, I'll bless the hand that guided, and I'll bless the heart that planned when I'm throned where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. That's how it's going to be. Thank you. You can turn it off. So, I just wanted to emphasize this, that the narrow way is not something that we don't have a guide in. It's not just commandments. In the Old Testament I said there's commandments. But Jesus said, follow me. That's the way we walk this way. Follow me. And as we listen to him day by day, he will keep us on that path. And if I find that I'm going slightly to this side or that side, he will correct me. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. It's good to know these promises in scripture. I hope you remember them, write them down. I used to highlight them in a color on my Bible, my first Bible. Isaiah chapter 30, it says here, verse 20 and 21. Let's begin at verse 19. The word Zion in the Old Testament is a picture of the church. The Lord is saying, oh, you people in the church, Isaiah 30 verse 19, you will not weep anymore. The Lord will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. What wonderful promise. And even though in the past the Lord may have given you some trials, oppression and privation, he is your teacher, that is Jesus, will not hide himself. Jesus himself also went through a trial, temptation, and he will not hide himself. Your eyes will see your teacher. Good to remember that. Looking unto Jesus, we run this race, or we walk this way. Your eyes will see your teacher. Keep that promise before you. Jesus is our example. In the Old Testament, Moses was not the example. He just gave them commandments. Thou shalt not, you shall do this, you shall not do this. But Jesus did not come with you shall not. He said, follow me. You know, I said it is the difference between teaching people how to swim on a blackboard and teaching them actually in the swimming pool. You know which is the easier way? You know, supposing a man says, okay, I'm going to teach you guys to swim. None of you know how to swim, right? And he draws on a blackboard, you move your hand like this, move legs like this, and breathe like this, and all that, explain on a blackboard. Okay, fellas, go and jump in the river. You won't come out of it. You just go down. But if he says, come with me to the river, and he says, follow me. See what I'm doing? See how I'm moving my hands? See how I put my head in and breathe out and, ah, that I can do. I couldn't understand head or tail of that diagram on the blackboard. Old Testament was like a diagram on the blackboard. Come on, follow the Lord. They all failed. But Jesus said, I'm going ahead of you. I'm your forerunner. You know that title of Jesus? Forerunner. The one who runs in front. Says, follow me. That's different from do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. That's the difference between law and grace. In law it is do this, don't do this. In grace it is follow me. You've got an example in front of you to follow. Eyes will see your teacher. And sometimes we are a bit careless and we don't pay attention. And our eyes, it happens to all of us, our eyes come off our teacher in some moment of pressure. And we compromise and we go slightly off that way. And then here's the promise. As soon as you miss that way, verse 21, look at this. Isaiah 30, 21. Your ears will hear a word telling you, no, no, no. Turn to the right. Or turn to the left. This is the way. You're going off the way. Turn right now. Turn left now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That we can, when I do slip up and my eyes go off my teacher, the Holy Spirit is there. Beyond the voice of those demons whispering into your ear is the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, you're slipping up, my son. My daughter, you're slipping up. You're going a little to the right. Turn back immediately. And if you listen, as soon as you hear those first promptings, you'll never go near those lions. The lions will not be able to touch you. They will not be able to touch your family. You walk in triumph and your children will see your example. And as you follow Jesus, they will follow you. I have 4 sons and I long to follow Jesus in my life and I long that they will see me and follow Jesus like me. And I have the great joy today of seeing all 4 of them following the Lord, serving the Lord like me. It can be true for you. Just keep your eyes on the teacher and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Receive God's word every day. And don't listen to accusations against you or against others. Don't sit at home at the dining table and gossip about other people. You're doing the devil's work for him. The devil is the accuser of the brothers. Why should you sit around your dining table and help him to accuse other people? Keep your mouth shut. You're not helping anybody by accusing others. You're adding to those voices. They're already hearing them and you're adding to that. Don't be a voice for Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren who accuses them day and night. And we must have nothing to do with that. Our eyes must be on our teacher and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit whenever you go slightly to the right or left. And if you walk this way, you know what will happen? Over a period of time, God will make you a shepherd. You won't have an official title of pastor, and it's better not to have the title. Just be an honorary brother or sister. But you will be a guide to other younger people who are stumbling, and God will bring you in touch with them, and you'll be able to warn them, no, don't turn there. Don't go that way. Imagine if you keep doing that at the end of your life, how many people you would have led to walk that narrow way. I have such a tremendous joy today. I've been serving the Lord. I quit my job in the Navy 53 years ago. And I've been serving the Lord 53 years. And it's such a tremendous joy when I look around and see in so many countries in the world, people write to me how the words they have heard have protected them from sin. Now, I didn't start like this. I didn't know anybody else outside my hometown. But I began with one or two. Started with one or two. I remember when I was in the naval base, nobody knew who Zach Woman was. I was just an unknown person. But I said, Lord, I'm just 23 years old. And I've studied the scriptures. And I can't get up and preach in the church because those 40-year-old elders won't let me preach there. So what I did, I would find out in the naval base some, I would start with some nominal Christian family who are not born again. And I would go to them and say, brethren, can we spend half an hour once a week studying the Bible? Oh, he said, sure. You choose the time and day, one day of the week, I'll come and share something from the Bible. And he was happy, he's got little children. And I would share the word with them, and then I'd say, listen, next week if you want to invite one of your neighbors or something, invite them along, come along as well. And here I was, starting my own little Bible study. I didn't have to preach in a church, in a little room with unconverted, nominal Christians who were open to it. I didn't take too long. And I would suit their convenience. It's 20 minutes, 20 minutes. You can say a lot in 20 minutes. You know, Sermon on the Mount doesn't take more than 20 minutes. One of the most powerful sermons ever preached. I hear long, boring sermons, which are nowhere near that 20-minute sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. You can say a lot. So I used to take these studies, and the results that came from it, they got converted. That brother finally, when he left the Navy, began to serve the Lord full-time somewhere. It all started with a little seed. You can do that. There is somebody in the world, listen to this, there is somebody in the world whom you know, who knows less of the Bible than you. Right or wrong? Absolutely right. There is somebody you know who knows less of the Bible than you. And who's a friend of yours. Why not consider spending a little time sometime? Don't go to him like a big preacher and say, hey, listen, do you feel we could just spend 15 minutes once a week just to look at something in the Word of God together? Or if you don't have anything to say, take one of my books. There are a lot of books of mine there. Take one of those books. That's what some people do in some homes. This is, we'll study chapter 1 of this book of Brother Zach. We'll get a, you know, buy 3 or 4 copies of it. They're all very cheap. Give it to them and say, let's study this. You know what fantastic results can come through your one life? Because there are certain people in this world who nobody knows except you. You know that? There are certain people in the world nobody in this hall knows except you. In your place of work. There are some people you know, nobody else here knows. There's a small world of people whom you know. There's a small world of people I know, there's a small world of people you know. And if you're faithful there, that world will increase in size and be able to reach more and more people. So think of it like this. A small world of maybe 10 people you know, whom nobody else knows. Maybe your immediate relatives or somebody in the office. Start with Christians. Normally Christians are not converted. God so loved that little world. God so loved that little world of 10 people whom you know, that He sent His son, you or daughter, into that world so that none of them should perish but have eternal life. Read John 3:16 like that. God so loved the little world of people whom I know that He sent me, His son, His daughter, into them so they should not perish but have eternal life. Be a witness. And if you're scared to be a witness, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I was really scared when I was young to witness. And I said, Lord, the disciples were scared. They locked themselves inside the room. But when they were filled with the Spirit, they threw open the doors and they began to preach. I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit like that. The main reason to be filled with the Holy Spirit, please listen to me, is not to speak in tongues. It is to be a witness. People ask me, what is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Acts 1 verse 8, the words of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive not tongues, you shall receive power. He may give you tongues, He may give you healing gifts, He may give you other things, but the main thing you receive is power to be a witness for Christ. That's what I sought. I want to encourage all of you to seek it, so that you can witness to that small world of people who you know, who nobody else here can reach, because nobody else in this hall knows them. Only you. And to be a witness doesn't mean you've got to go and hammer the gospel there, but pray for little openings. That's what I do. If I'm sitting in a plane, I don't say, okay, I've got to start preaching to the guy next door. He may get fed up with me. He may ask for a change of seat. So I don't want to do that. I don't do that. That is being obnoxious, driving people in. What I say is, Lord, give me an opening. If some little word there opens, then I can continue the conversation and lead it slowly into the gospel. That's the way. God will, if He opens the door, take it. And when He gives you an opportunity, share the gospel when you can with somebody. And I believe God can do amazing things through you, because there's a lot of people you meet, I will never meet. And you can share with them what you receive from others. And you can be a light. It takes only a little candle. It's burning to light other candles. And if you keep going around, you know, you may never be a great preacher standing in a pulpit. But if you go around just lighting one candle at a time, at the end of your life, you don't know how many people you would have blessed. God calls us to be witnesses for Christ. And for that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. I encourage all of you to seek God earnestly, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And don't tell me I experienced that 10 years ago. I experienced it 43 years ago, but every day I want to experience it again, to be filled with the Spirit all the time. I always want to be filled with the Spirit, because I never know when I get a chance to be a witness to somebody. You must every day, you must always keep your conscience clear and be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you can be a witness for Christ. And I want to tell you, every one of you sitting here, you could have been such a blessing to many people in these past years. But perhaps you've been lazy, not taking it seriously. I want you to, you know, we can hear something like this and understand it and all and get excited about it, but that's not it. We seek for the power of the Holy Spirit. That will help us, because the devil is determined to quench that fire. I want to show you another picture. Please look at this. Number 8. Can you turn that thing around? See, this is... No, not that. Number 8. The earlier than that. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, you see there? Okay. That is the fire of the Holy Spirit, and the devil is pouring water to quench it. You can be absolutely sure that whenever the Lord ignites something in your heart, the devil will do everything to discourage you, to make you feel condemned. But see the hand of the Lord pouring the oil of the Holy Spirit on the left side, pouring the oil so that the fire keeps burning, keeps on burning, and the devil cannot quench that fire. But you can be absolutely sure, any one of you who seeks for the fire of the Holy Spirit, you can be pretty sure that the devil will pour water on it. And that's why I say you need to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And for that you need to be open. Say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit every day. I seek for it every single day. And I know that if I live like that, God will bring me in touch with somebody or the other and give me the right words to speak to those persons, to lift those people up from their weariness. And I want to show you one more thing. When we hear God's word, it's not enough to understand it. It's not enough to be excited about it. Let me show you a verse, the Gospel of Luke and chapter 6. Luke's Gospel chapter 6, we read like this. Leave alone my words, even the words of Jesus. Verse 46, Luke 6:46 reads like this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? See, when a person calls Jesus Lord, that means his mind is right, he believes Jesus is Lord. When he says, Lord, Lord, he's a Pentecostal, he's excited about it. He doesn't just say Lord, he says Lord, Lord. that his emotions are stirred. But there's one more step. You understand, you say Lord, or excited, you say Lord, Lord, you must yield your will and say, I will do what you say. And then he said, I'll illustrate that, he said, when you come to me and hear my word, and you just understand it and excite it, it's not enough, you must do it. Then you'll be like a man who dug deep and laid his foundation on a rock. The flood came and could not destroy that house. But the other man, verse 49, who heard, he got excited, he understood, he got excited, but he did not do. He called him Lord, 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 but he didn't do it. He understood, he got excited about it, he didn't obey. He is built on sand and the house collapsed. Now I want to show you the next picture. Here is a house built on a rock. He dug deep and went through the sand. What is the sand? Your mind. Lord. Your emotions. Lord, Lord. Not enough. Do it. Obey that word. Then your house will be unshakable in the flood. Do you know why so many people who say, Lord, 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 still get all shaken and sometimes even give up their faith? There are a lot of people who speak in tongues who have divorced their wives, particularly in Western countries. How? How did they disobey God's word? Because they were in mind and emotions all the time. A lot of people who claim to be baptized in the Holy Spirit nowadays, it's only emotion. It's a baptism of emotion. It's a baptism of the soul, not of the spirit, because they have not yielded their will. We need mind, need emotions, but it must, you know, for example, when I speak, or when Jesus spoke, he first speaks to the mind, and then stirs the emotions. The purpose is to make you yield your will, and say, Lord, I yield my will. So this man dug through mind and emotions, and hit rock. And his house never shook. Your house will never shake in a storm or a flood or anything. If everything that you read in the Word, if you merely understand it, you're on sand. If you're excited about it, you're still on sand. For example, today, I think a lot of things I said today, you understood it. Maybe some of you have gone beyond that and said, Lord, Lord, you're excited about it. I'm sorry, brother, you're still on sand. I found among Christendom, there were some churches, I belong to a group of assemblies, where they studied the Word of God without any emotion. Intellectual study, 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 study. It's good, accurate intellectual study of the Word, but it was dead. And there are people who see that type of assembly where they're only studying the Word of God, they come together and the meeting is like a dead meeting. And they say, we don't want all that. They react against that and get all emotional, excited and say, we must clap and we must raise our hands and shout and praise. And they think they got the Holy Spirit. No. That's just emotion. Those guys got intellect, these guys got emotion. They're still on sand. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes when you obey. The Holy Spirit strengthens us to obey. He instructs our mind, He stirs our emotions, but He makes us obey. I use my mind extensively when I study the Word of God. I've used it for 59 years to study God's Word. I'm excited when I read God's Word. Sometimes I weep when I read God's Word. Sometimes when I think about the cross, I weep. Even today when I sing about the cross, sometimes I weep. I'm emotional. But that's not spirituality. I thank God for mind, I thank God for motion, I thank God for saying, Lord, Lord, but I go on beyond that to say, I want to now do your will. I want to deny my will and do your will. Now if you don't do that, you see the next picture. Here's the guy who didn't hit on the rock. Just mind, just emotions, wonderful, beautiful house. And the storm came because it was not, his will was not yielded. He just said, Lord, Lord, and he stands before the Lord in the final day, and the Lord will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But Lord, we heal the sick, we did miracles, we did this, the other. He says, no, you never did my will. You were just excited. You just understood the truth. You were excited about the truth, but you never did it. So I hope that you will understand some of these things. A picture is worth a thousand words. So you understand something about, see, our soul, man is body, soul and spirit. Inside us is soul and spirit. And the door between the soul and the spirit is the will. If you don't break the will, the Holy Spirit cannot enter our spirit. Mind and emotions are in the soul. So the Holy Spirit goes, when He speaks to us, goes through our body, through the ears, right now it's going through the ears, or also through the eyes, goes into your mind, and I believe you have understood a lot of things today, but I think you've also got excited about some of the things you heard today. Good. You come to the second stage, you're saying, Lord, Lord, you won't be any different than you were yesterday if you stop there. You got to say, now Lord, I heard some things today. For example, I must receive the manna every morning. I must receive God's word every day. I must seek God to overcome my anger. I must seek God with all my heart to overcome lust in the eyes. I must seek God with all my heart to always speak the truth. I must seek God with all my heart, never to accuse others, never to listen to accusations. Never to condemn myself, never to condemn others. I want to do it. Give me strength. Lord, strengthen my will. That's where I need the power of the Holy Spirit. To put my own will to death, to say, not my will, but thy will. That is the really spirit-filled life. I'm telling you from experience, you'll be a very happy person. And if you lead people along this way, there's a narrow way, the lion will not be able to touch you. As it says in Isaiah 35, no vicious beast will be there. And you'll be able to reach the end of life. And as you saw in that picture, look back on the narrow way, how is the Lord led you? And your house will be built on the rock. Storm, rain, flood, nothing will shake you. May God bless you. I want to say a few things before I conclude a little. If you would like to hear my sermons, there are 1,000 sermons of mine on different subjects on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and put Zach Poonen, subject, grace, faith, trial, love, sex, anything. You'll get all the, thank God for Google, you'll be able to get all the messages on that particular subject. Or, if you go to CFC India, CFC stands for Christian Fellowship Church, cfcindia.com, that is our church website. You can even read all my books there, online. And my articles, which are there. And some audio messages. And also these video messages, which are on YouTube, are also there. And if you have a smartphone, Android or Apple, iPhone, you can download an app called CFC app. And if you download it from the Play Store, there you can click and get all these audio messages. Through the Bible, 70 hours. Basic Christian teachings, 72 15-minute messages that will establish you. Foundation truths, 80 half an hour messages on all that Jesus taught, and about 300 hours of verse by verse through the New Testament. It's all there, completely free, and you can listen to it, download it, and in addition, if you want a weekly message coming to your email, we have a weekly free message that's called Word for the Week. And sometimes it's very prophetic according to your need. Many people have seen that. Just write to cfc@cfcindia.com. cfcindia.com is the website. cfc@cfcindia.com. Say, I want Word for the Week at my email address. You send it there every week, it will come to you, and if you get fed up with it, there's a provision to unsubscribe. Every week it will come at the bottom, if you are fed up, no, not like that, but if you want to unsubscribe, you can unsubscribe. You won't push something down your throat. God doesn't do it. And some of those pictures which you saw are a 2-hour Bible study that I took on John Bunyan's book called Pilgrim's Progress, with number of slides like that, describing the whole story with spiritual application. That's also free. You can go to YouTube or cfcindia.com and in the search column put Jack Poonen, Pilgrim's Progress. And you can watch the whole thing, slide by slide by slide, the entire story with spiritual application. And it's all free. Why do we offer it all free? Because God gives everything free. Man sells everything, the devil steals everything, but God gives everything free. It's true. The oxygen God gives is free, but if you go to the hospital, you've got to pay for the oxygen. But here it's free. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I believe there are many, many people here who have heard something from you these 2 evenings. And I pray that the seed will sink deep and produce eternal fruit. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.